This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 13th of May 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today I'm joined on the line by the Globe and Mail's television critic, John Doyle, over in our Toronto bureau. On the box today we have sinister drama Wayward Pines, the new HBO biopic about legendary blues singer Bessie Smith, and we'll examine how British comedy Catastrophe will fare in North America. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, John. Great to have you with us, as always. We're going to begin with Wayward Pines, an eerie tale of a secret agent looking for two missing federal agents in this rather strange town in Idaho. Before we delve into the story, let's hear a little taste of what this is all about.
Work hard!
Be happy! Enjoy your life in Wayward Pines!
We all must do our part!
Always answer the phone if there is!
Hello?
You must kill the man in front of you.
Telemarketer. Follow the rules.
This is no ordinary town.
How do I get out of here?
You don't.
Well, that all sounds absolutely terrifying. John, what did you make of this?
Well, it's not terrifying. It is a complicated conspiracy theory tale told over 10 hours. It is directed by M. Night Shyamalan, the master of the surprise twist from many movies going back to The Sixth Sense. The thing about Wayward Pines is that your description didn't really do it justice in terms of its complexity and many twists and turns. In fact, no synopsis in two or three sentences could do it justice. It veers in many directions. There are 10 parts to it. Us critics were sent up the first 5 hours of it, and what was really notable was that in the fourth and fifth hour, it changed direction completely from the first three and a half hours of it. It's entertaining. It does have many twists, probably too many. The story starts out fairly basically. Matt Dillon plays a Secret Service agent who, with a partner, is on the search for a missing pair of Secret Service agents. There's a car crash. He wakes up injured in this town of Wayward Pines, Idaho, which he soon discovers is a very strange place. That is, he staggers into town injured. He wanders into a bar. He's hungry. He's thirsty. Somebody, a kindly lady who's tending bar, gives him a meal. He goes to the hospital. He collapses and is taken to the hospital. The hospital, he's treated by a rather menacing nurse played by Melissa Leo. He soon realizes that it's not really a hospital. He seems to be the only person there. He escapes, goes back to the bar where he met the kindly bartender lady. No one knows of her existence. From there, things spiral into even more paranoid delusion. You're never quite sure whether the main character, Matt Dillon, is hallucinating all of this or if there is some vast conspiracy going on. In general, I think, you know, it's entertaining if you pay close attention to it, because there are all kinds of hints about, tiny hints about what might be coming that you can't nod off watching Wayward Pines.
No, it doesn't sound sound that way. I mean, it strikes me with the complexities, the sort of the turbulence, I don't know, reminiscent of almost, I don't know, a sort of a Twin Peaks vibe, that kind of mystery where the viewer is, you know, they don't even really know what they're watching, let alone the intricacies of the plot that's on screen.
That's a fair summary, and mentioning Twin Peaks is very apt, because there are a lot of nods or acknowledgements to Twin Peaks in Wayward Pines, probably too many for some people's taste if they're familiar with the original Twin Peaks. That is, it's very arch in the way that Twin Peaks was, but in David Lynch's hands, that somehow came together. It doesn't really in Wayward Pines. The shifts in tone are jarring. There are moments of delightful, absurd comedy, followed immediately by scenes that are very menacing and violent. It's a mess of a show, an absolute mess. I can't see it being a big hit. I can see it having a small cult audience who would be sucked into the legend of it, the details, the background to it. But it's essentially, I think, it's a failure.
Pretty damning, but it's interesting because obviously you mentioned M. Night Shyamalan, who's the producer of the show, or one of the executive producers, and who also directed the first episode. And that's a bit of a criticism in many ways that's been levelled at some of his later works, other than his big early hits. So the jury perhaps will remain out on that one. Wayward Pines is broadcast by Fox and debuts tomorrow, May the 14th. Let's move on, John, if you would, to something from this side of the pond, British comedy Catastrophe, shown on Channel 4 here in the UK earlier this year, written by and starring the American comedian Rob Delaney and Irish actress Sharon Horgan, who play a couple who end up together when Sharon falls pregnant with Rob's child after a one-night stand. John, we're used to kind of seeing particularly American audiences getting treated to remakes, but this has been sold as is to Amazon Prime. It was successful here. Can it cross the Atlantic and do the same job?
I think it can, actually, Tom. It's I gave it a rave review. It started airing here on Canada on a streaming service called Show Me on the weekend, and I adored it. I thought it was incredibly fresh. It has a remarkable energy to it. It's very, very funny. I called it ribald in my column, but it's extremely rude, as viewers in the UK will know. But it has... It has a genuine quality to it. It is both funny and heartfelt, and it does feel like it is something that comes organically from a life lived, from real life experience. We have, I think, on this side of the water, become used to disappointment with a lot of British television in the last few years. You've had big mass market successes like Downton Abbey. People still go for those period piece dramas that are churned out in the UK and churned out very well with great craft and skill. But a lot of other dramas and comedies, I think, have disappointed because they're simply not at the same level of sophistication as premium cable drama and comedies are that emanate from Showtime or HBO or their equivalents here. Catastrophe, I think, transcends that limitation. Those limitations. It is universal while being a very British comedy. At the same time, I'm originally Irish, and I recognize the Irishness of Sharon Horgan's humor.
Well, let's take a listen to her Irishness and, well, Rob's Americanness, if such a thing exists. This is a clip from the first episode when the two wake after the night before.
Do you want to have dinner?
Do you want to have dinner?
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Okay. Do you have a wife or anything?
No.
No? Okay, well, I'll write down my number.
You know what? That's my work visa, so if you... Doesn't matter.
Okay.
And I noticed that you took some things from the bathroom, and that's fine. But could you leave the toothpaste?
No, I didn't take any toothpaste. Oh, shit, I did, yeah. Sorry. It's just small and cute. So you should probably open a window, or this really stinks in here.
John, one thing that will strike listeners about that, it definitely captures a sort of the general tone of it. Sharon Horgan and Rob Delaney, they're the stars. They're also the writers. Do you think sometimes actually you need people who are completely immersed in a project like that? You get people collaborating. Rob Delaney's written a lot about how liberating he found collaborating on this project. Does that almost help to make it when the writers are on screen and they're putting everything out there for the viewer?
Well, there are some cases, I think, where being the creators, the writers, and actors in a show can be a limitation because it leads to a kind of self-indulgence or a self-consciousness. In this case, neither of those things happen. The chemistry between Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan is remarkable. It seems utterly authentic. There is a sense of humor to it, which I think is unique, and a lot of it belongs to Sharon Horgan. I feel, as somebody who grew up in Ireland, that I know dozens of Irish women like Sharon Horgan, and the character she plays, that is a hard shell and a soft center, a gift for language, an ability to be mocking and slagging, at the same time to be incredibly affectionate and truthful. I adore the character, I adore the humor, but when I wrote about it, I did give my readers a fair warning that some of the comedy is extremely raw.
That's a polite word. I've seen this series myself, John, and that's an understatement. However, I liked it a great deal. That's Catastrophe. It's available on Amazon Prime. If you're in the UK, lucky for you, look out for the second series next year on Channel 4. Let's close the show by looking, though, John, next at Bessie, the new HBO biopic about legendary blues singer Bessie Smith, probably one of the biggest stars of the 20s and 30s. In this show, she's played by Queen Latifah, who's apparently been eyeing up the role for quite some time. We understand she first auditioned for the part, I think, way back in the early 1990s. So she was an enthusiast. John, does she manage to do the great Bessie justice?
She does, yes. She is the best thing about Bessie. Bessie is one of those HBO movies that has multiple layers to it. And at the same time, it's a little frustrating in that none of it quite comes together. Tonally, it's a bit off. That is, Queen Latifah does an extraordinary portrayal of Bessie Smith, and Bessie Smith, warts and all. That is, the woman who was a tremendous singer, performer, businesswoman, but very abrasive, a difficult artist to deal with, and also sexually omnivorous, bisexual, picked up men and women willy-nilly. And at the same time, there is all of that there, which is admirable. At the same time, there are portions of Bessie where the movie seems to be suddenly become reverential towards this historical figure, rather than make her the truly difficult, outrageous artist that she was. There are some scenes in it that are clearly set pieces where what's happening is telegraphed in advance to let audiences know what a powerful figure she was, what a stalwart figure against segregation, against racism she was. So I think it's the kind of production that is going to be fascinating to sort of two sets of people. One, people who are aficionados of the blues and are familiar with Bessie Smith's music and her stature, and also with Ma Rainey, who appears in the movie and is given due acknowledgement as a precursor to Bessie Smith. And secondly, I think it would be of enormous interest to a younger generation who are interested in black music, but only know black music through the contemporary scene. And I think it will be a revelation to them how black music progressed from the sort of vaudeville blues circuit of the 1920s and 30s into something it is today.
John, let's take a quick listen to a little extract. This is something from HBO's Bessie.
Remember what I told you about the blues? If you're not risking nothing, neither will they. What's your name, pretty lady?
Bessie Smith.
Down in Atlanta, GA. Under the viaduct every
day. With the good music, the good food, and the good liquor.
Drinking liquor and howling hooray.
She most demonstrate syncopate. Electrified woman in the world.
That's the amazing sounds of Bessie showing on HBO on May 16th. Almost at the end of the show, John Doyle in Toronto. What would be your pick of the shows we've talked about this week? I know it's a bit sort of a reduction of your great criticism to get you to choose just one. But what would be your standout?
Catastrophe. I think to an audience in North America, it will be incredibly fresh, energetic, a real eye opener. Wayward Pines will have a cult audience, but I don't think it works. Bessie, I think I would put slightly above Wayward Pines in the hierarchy. It's well worth seeing for all its flaws.
But a vote for Catastrophe. John Doyle from the Globe Mail, thank you very much indeed for joining us on this edition of the Monocle Arts Review. Let's thank our producer, Holly Fisher, our researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be getting The Week in Books from Kathy Rensenbrink. Until then, it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening.